And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Past from the Glovers Cast. And today we're joined by one of Yeovil Town's highest ever goal scorers and a face familiar with supporters old and new, but for very different reasons. In 419 games in two spells with the club, he scored 83 goals and then went on to be a familiar face behind the scenes at Hewish Park for many years after he stopped playing. We're very pleased to welcome former Glovers Cast striker, commercial manager, under-18s manager, assistant manager, club ambassador, and one of the legends you might have seen walking around the pitch at half-time during the game with Torquay on Good Friday, Kerry Cotton. So, Terry, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Glad to see you. You missed one little thing out there when the list of things I did. I've also been commercial manager.
Yeah.
With the bar, I mean, down the turnstiles on one match.
Ah, oh, there you go. I was going to ask you if I missed any questions, Al.
Well, yeah, sorry. No, it's been a good old time all the way through.
Absolutely. Terrific. Well, I'm also very pleased to say that for this episode, I'm joined by Mike West, who many of you will know from his prolific social media presence with the Yeovil Town Heritage Society. So, Mike, thank you for joining me.
No, absolute pleasure, Dave. Absolute pleasure to be here and a great opportunity to speak to one of my heroes.
Fantastic. Well, for once, I'm able to say that I'm one of the youngest members of the team, for once in my life, I think. So I'm going to take that opportunity. So I'm going to leave Mike to ask the questions to Terry about some of his earlier days, and I'll butt in where I can. So, Mike, over to you.
Right. Thanks, Dave. Actually, before I start answering the questions, I want to apologise to Terry about an incident 50 years ago, if I could say it. Terry will remember it back in the 70s, there was a competition called the Western County Studded League. Do you remember it, Terry?
But no, I do.
There was one match I was attending with my dad. I was about 9 years old. And we were losing 1-0 against Poole Town. And we're into the last seconds of the game. And I was stood on the north bank with my dad. And the ball came over the wall. And you ran to the touchline and said, "Throw it back, quick, give me the ball. And I ran, got the ball, and I threw it about 5 yards to the left of you, and it rode away, and you stood there and looked at me like, "What are you doing?" And as you ran to get the ball, you took the throw in, it landed at Stuart Harrison's feet, and just the referee blew the whistle, and I was convinced that night that I'd cost Yeovil a late victory, or a late equaliser, or the Terry Cotton hated me. So, but 15 years ago, Terry, I apologise.
Oh, thank you very much. Stuart would have probably missed anyway.
I love it. Great story.
Right. So, Terry, before you get we get into your time in Yeovil, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your career before then. Of course, you played in the Football League with Swansea, but I think before that, you were playing, I think you started off at Clonelli, is that be correct?
Yeah, I started off obviously like most youngsters in the local league in Swansea, playing for a team called, which is might be funny to some people, the name. It was called Ragged School. It was a local side, playing just as normal local league. I was picked up from there and asked to go and play for Planetary. Started off there, and then they had a spell a couple of years there, and then I went to Armonitor and played in the Welsh League there with Roy Saunders. Dean Saunders' father. He was manager. So I had a couple of scenes there, and then I was picked to play for Wales as an amateur. And when I got the letter, of course, I went to see Roy and said, "Boss, I'm afraid I can't play for Wales. I'm English. I was born in Liverpool. My parents are all from Liverpool. What shall I do?" He said, "Don't say anything. Just go and enjoy yourself." So I went and played that last game of that season in Ireland, another little cap. And then I was picked the following year and had three games there. And then all of a sudden, Swansea came on the scene and asked me to sign professionals. So I signed professional for Swansea. Unfortunately, I only played about 12, 14 games, I think, for Swansea. And then I was released. Now, a funny story about being released was the manager who went to Swansea was Roy Bentley. And before I'd signed to Swansea, I went on a trial at Reading for a week. And then had a match on the Saturday at the end of the week. And I actually scored a hat-trick. So I thought, oh, I'm well in here. Unfortunately, Roy came in on a Saturday after a match and thought, unfortunately, I can only sign one youngster. And I decided to sign the centre-half. Not here. I want to play very well in the trial. So, of course, I was disappointed, went back, and then eventually signed for Swansea. And a year, 18 months after I signed for Swansea, Roy Bentley became manager there. And the funny thing was, I'd gone by the end of the year. The look at me.
You couldn't have done much more than that, Terry, I don't think. Score a hat trick on a trial, it's about as good as it gets.
Well, it was disappointing. Especially traveling back to Swansea, you know, already done everything he possibly can. But without being from then on, because you don't take anything for granted
here. No, of course not. But going back to when you were playing for the amateur Welsh team, if I'm correct, I think you won the amateur home internationals. Is that correct?
They finished top in the second year I played. They finished top, and I think we tied it with England. I think we tied it with someone, and it was quite a good year.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah, what a great experience. And then of course, as you said, you were at Swansea, made 12 appearances, then one or two goals. And then you had a chance. I think, if I'm correct, you were off to South Africa. Is that correct?
Well, we had a contract. I had a contract to go and play for Durban in South Africa. And Jane and I hadn't been married long, and we thought, well, that's a good chance. Really a good start. But then out of the blue, and then he walked into a pub in Swansea. And Brian Gray was playing for the Oval at the time. He came across and said, "Hey, why don't go to South Africa? Come to the Oval." Well, I said, in a strong word, like, you know, the Oval, like, you know, because I never seen it. And he explained sort of what league they played in. Well, boy, spoke to Mike Hughes and he phoned me up and he offered me a good deal, which included a job because we were part time at the time. They offered me a job, a rent free clubhouse, and my football mate. So we decided to stay for almost a year, 18 months. That's here we went.
You still are,
yeah. Still, yes.
Still here. Brilliant. When you arrived at Yeovil, Terry, of course, you know, we just won the Southern League the year before. And obviously, Mike Fuse, he got together a great team, you know, the likes of Johnny Clancy, Stuart Ellis, Nick Fitzmyers. When you came to Longwood, did you see it like that Yeovil could have like progressed? You came to a club that could progress into the Football League?
For years, it was all, you know, it was always the ambition of everyone at the club. I think the team was made up of lots of players who come from different parts of the country. The families had moved down, and they would have all loved to, you know, come on full time and gone in the league and see how we went. But different things, we kept missing out on the old system. And then over the next several years, there's always been money problems. On the good West War League, the old pitch, we had the big slope of it. And that was, I think, stopped us getting in the league for many a time.
Yeah, I think it could be correct. And as I said, you know, when you joined, you joined some great, great players. At that time, when you first joined, which standout players did you think, well, that's my level of player? You know, for us, of course, you know, supporters, Johnny Clancy, Cliff Myers, and House. But for you, who was the one that really stuck out?
Well, there were several. You can't really single them out, really. You all had the different traits and all that. But like John Clancy and Stuart Housing, they were like the fullest wing backs I'd ever seen. But they used to work so hard up and down. You know, they would be up front, up back. And, you know, that shook a lot of teams because it was like having two actual defenders, one was defending, and two extra forwards, one was attacking.
Yeah.
Very good. Obviously, Cliffy Myers was a good midfield player, and he made everything click. But it was, really speaking, a team that stuck together. And, you know, we all got on well with each other. And, you know, it would have been nice if we had a chance to go into the league in those years.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just going to ask there, and I don't know if you can explain, because for younger listeners, they probably won't understand when you say about the old system. Am I right in saying that even if you won the league, you had to be elected by the members of the Football League to get up? Is that right, Mike?
That's right. Yeah, it's basically an old boys act with the Football League clubs. You know, if you'd won the league, you still had to get voted into the league. And for example, when Hereford got promoted in 72, I think, you know, they'd not even won the league, you know. But it was just, it was a chaotic system and totally unfair, you know. And Yeovil, without doubt, in the 70s, were amongst the top two or three non-league clubs in the country and could have easily replaced the lower end of the harder pool, that type of teams, you know. But it never happened, unfortunately.
Fine. I think we missed out by about three votes.
Yeah, in 74, I think, was we lost by... We were not that... Well, yeah, three votes. We were away from getting promoted, yeah. But that's the way it is. But we finally got there under our own merits.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just going back, Terry, you know, when you... If I... You actually made your debut on the... I've got it here. 14th of August 1971, a 0-0 away draw at Romford. And 4 days later, you got your first goals against Telford. Do you remember much about that match?
Not the individual matches. I can't. There's a couple I remember, but I just took each match as it came and enjoyed it. And, you know, I didn't win many of us in the Oval.
And
you don't remember them quite so much there, you know, if you win that. I know one of the biggest disappointments was seeing the looks on the faces of the lads in the dressing room when in my first year we lost in the semi-final of the FA Trophy because they'd also suffered it the year before.
Exactly. Actually, the anniversary of that match is tomorrow, April 3rd, 1971. So, yeah. It was a, I remember it was a horrendous, horrendous day. And I mean, Mike, you saw after the match that the, you know, the occasion got to the players. You know, would you agree with that, Terry?
I very think it did. And I think also the summer of they still had the memories of the year before.
Yeah.
And I don't think that helped. I mean, it's all I say to people, you just try harder because you missed out the year before. But it sticks in the back of your mind a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, it was disappointment for the supporters. You know,
of course.
2 years, I've not got to Wembley. You know, the ones who carried survived from then, they did when we had the playoffs. But, you know, as a club, 2 years to miss out on Wembley was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the, was it 70, 71, 72, we played Stafford Rangers in the semi-final, but they were an exceptional side, if I remember rightly. They were a very good team.
We were playing well at the time, and you know, we were quite confident that we wanted to be.
No, exactly. But of course, in those days, you know, we had some great cup matches. And the 72 FA Cup match with Brentford, which of course another giant killing act. And that's one match that really sticks in a lot of supporters' memories at that time. Do you remember much about that game, Terry?
No, rather about a giant. The one that sticks out more to me than the Brentford game was the Millwall game.
Oh, 75, yeah.
You know, I think that was again because it went to three matches, which again wouldn't happen now. But the Brentford game, I remember bits about it, but not a lot.
Of course. And of course, you know, going back to what you were saying about the Millwall game, you know, we drew one all at Hewish, and I think Millwall scored in the last 10 minutes of a corner that wasn't a corner. And then, of course, we drew two all at the Den, and if I remember rightly, you were on the score sheet that night.
Yeah. Well, the game at the Den, I still think I should have had a goal in the last couple of minutes, but I was given offside. Well, I think if VAR had been about, I might have won that one.
Typical striker, eh, Terry? Yeah, you can't remember all these games, but you can remember when you've been robbed of a goal.
Well, that was too quick for the light.
But yeah, those three games, and of course, then we went to the second replay that was at Aldershot's ground, and unfortunately lost 1-0. And I think there was a mistake in the back between Stan Harding and Mike Franklin, if I remember rightly.
That was a mistake, really. And the funny thing was, it was going in the net, and I tried to hook it out, stop it going in, and Stan said I scored a own goal. But it was in a state.
In full.
I call it. I mean, in the chain, I remember in the first training session after that, the following Tuesday, because we were part time then, Stan had all the players all sitting around the dressing room. I was in the old ground just inside the door. So I was the last one that we went round every player and criticized them. And he went all down, criticized this person. Came to me, the last man, turned around and he said, lads, you've got your captain, Gary Cotton, who tried his hardest. And although he scored an own goal, I'm saying, that's a bit harsh, but at least he's praising me. And then he finished up by saying, he does all this work like this, and he can't even play, he said. Well, he lifted me up by boosting the game, saying I did well and all that, and then said I couldn't be not a good player or anything.
Well, milk you down, you know, that's it. Stan Hardy, he had to be his own methods, that's for sure. Going back to your early days, though, at Huish Ignoble, though, Terry, I mean, of course, in your first season, I mean, you started off incredibly. In your first 10 games for Yeovil, you'd scored 8 goals. And then you'd actually finished up the top goal scorer for that season, 29, I think, or 26. But the following season, I'm not too sure what happened, but I think we played Guildford away in about September and Bev Dixon was injured. And then Seth Irwin, who became the player manager at that time, said to you that go back into defence and play centre half. How did you feel about that?
Well, it was strange because I haven't played there before. But Seth said to me, just go back there and play. Player said, well, head the ball whenever you can and clear the ball whenever you can. Because it was still in. And as I started playing more and more, I started enjoying it more. You know, the one thing about playing centre half, you're always in the game.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And amazingly, like you said, you'd not played in that position before, but the end of that season where you played most of the games at centre, you ended up the supporters player of the season. So, fantastic.
Yeah. But I got to really enjoy playing centre. And then, as the years went on, I was picked in both positions.
Yeah.
Last quarter of an hour, I'd go up front if we were losing or struggling. So, for me personally, it was a great move.
Yeah, of course. But going back to your playing style, then, I mean, older fans like me will if you mentioned the name Terry Cotton, you know, a good proportion of them would say, oh, Terry Cotton was no show to barge into the keeper, you know, in the days when it was legal to do so. Would you class yourself as quite a combative striker? Because you never got a red card, did you? Never.
No, I mean, I think, to be honest, that was my strength. I could battle and fight for the ball, etc. The game has changed so much.
Yeah.
In those days, a little typical example. In those days, when we were taught, if you got the ball, get it in the opponent's half as quick as you can. Because if you get the ball in the opponent's half, they're not going to score. But nowadays, you see all this passing back and forth. And you know, they don't worry about that. But in those days, the idea was to get it forward and let the forwards do the work and score the goals.
What is it they say? Huge part of that, they get it forward, Cooper, don't they? So, well, yeah. You start it off, Terry.
it's hard when the game has changed so much. But I do like the way you're able to be playing, you know, now. I just wish that there was a couple more forwards going into the box quicker on centre forward or two centre forward, two off, allowed to work in the box.
Yeah. But
the goals come from.
Sorry, Terry. Sorry to interrupt you. Going back to your style of play, I remember, you know, it's funny, as we just played Weymouth, I remember you had some incredible battles with Weymouth's Tony Hobson. And I remember you both literally had a break your nose contest each match.
The horse road reckon, so the whole way back up or something, they had opened my nose 13 times.
Like
Hobbs did a couple.
Yeah.
But we always used to have a battle, one of us either have a cut eye or a nosebleed or something like that. But we'd always have a pint in the dress opening the bar. That's some
excellent, which is obviously what it's about. But yeah, they were those matches against Weymouth in the early 70s. They were real battles, real battles. On and off, unfortunately.
We didn't go to Weymouth the other day, but me and Gene watched it on the streaming. I just thought to myself watching it, you know, there's no hearty chatters going in, no this and all that. And that, to me, that just showed the passion was there with the crowd and everything, but it just showed how far the game has you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I remember. In those days, we had an FA Cup tie, and Alan Skirton was playing for Weymouth at the time. And I remember him going in really hard on Tony Clark once at their place. They were some real, real hard battles.
Very quick.
Yeah. I remember Riley, Terry, I remember hearing a long time ago about an incident with Bovril. And was it Burton Albion? But someone threw a cup of Bovril over you?
Yeah. I can never remember where it was. I think it was up Nuneaton, but it was somewhere in the Midlands. And my old trick of the trade, as you say, was I'd try and upset the goalkeeper in all the early stages of the game. So it's a cross being over or a corner. If I couldn't get to head the ball, I'd make sure the keeper didn't get hold of it. You know, by I gently say leaning on it. Other people say other thing. But after about a quarter of an hour in the game, I barred the keeper and he fell in the back of the net. But the referee gave him free kick, obviously. Oliver was running, turn right from the goals, and just running along the byline there at the back. This woman shouted, "Hey, number 9, stop hitting the goalkeeper." So I turned around, just said, "Why?" And she said, "Because that's my son." Obviously, the next corner, again, I knocked him into the goal. We ran past her and smiled. With that, it wasn't hot, thank goodness. She threw a cup of Bovril all over. In those days, you know, you didn't change your shirt or anything like that. You had to stick to that shirt. But you had to stick with the shirt for the season. And it set a canard, it absolutely set the ball. Well, I don't think I've drunk a ball since that day.
You did your FA with Terry. Horrible stuff.
Those things you just laugh them off, don't they?
Something else, of course, yeah.
Love it.
So, unbelievable. So, Terry, obviously, where your time at Yeovil, you worked with Mark Hughes and Seth Irwin, you know, those times. I think with Barry Lloyd later on when you came back. What kind of memories do you have of the managers at that time? What kind of people were there? Of course, Stan Harland also.
Stan Harland was a great centre-half. You know, he could play. But although I got well with him, he wasn't, I don't even know my idea of manager, because he fell out with a few people and all that, and he was a bit, you know, I am the best sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's other managers. Mike Hughes was a great part-time club manager. He knew how to treat the players, and if it was a hard training session, you could see a player tired. He sent me in and said, "Go on, you obviously had a hard day in work. You training in the evening." And he could understand players that.
Yeah.
The But there were one very then good points. You know, Sasso, you know, he was a good player. But in my mind, I would say, even here, he was player manager one time, but Sasso was a player manager just on all of the or all that, you know. So they were people all good to this point, but they're not good.
Oh, excellent. It's good to hear. Did you, we, of course, I mean, it's 1977. We played in the Anglo-Italian Cup. Did you play in that one, Terry? I can't remember.
In truth. We, as I say, we played the whole way in truth. And then we had 15 days, I think it was, under that movie. And we fed you to all the lads. We all put clubbed in and run a few things to make a bit of money. So that when we went over, we could all take the wine.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a great time. That the only disappointment was, I think, the last game we played, we needed to win 1-0, and we were about to do, and I actually drew those four.
Yeah, actually, yeah, and I don't remember this, but in that game, a young Carlo Ancelotti came onto the field.
Yeah.
That's he didn't have... But, yeah, he just had a bad career.
Of course, it was the experience as well, you know, going abroad, for all of us, going abroad. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been, yeah. It was just... I remember the, like I said, we needed to beat Parma 1-0 in the last game, and we drew 0-0. And I remember, if I remember rightly, Stan Harland missed an absolute sitter somewhere. Like you said, a great experience. Great, great experience. Especially for the fans, as well. I remember at the time, it created quite a lot of excitement. It was fantastic. So in 1977, you actually left the Oval, Terry. You headed off to Salisbury. How did that come about?
Well, like Hughes had gone to Salisbury. And I think, really speaking, it looked as though my time was going at the Oval had been there for a few years. And I think it was my idea then. But the set.
77 would have been Stan Harland, I think, wouldn't it?
That's right, was Stan. And, you know, he decided I was going to get many games of following season. So decided to go to Salisbury. But Mike had gone back in order for me to go from there. So off I went.
When you were at Salisbury, did you revert back to playing up front, or were you at centre half again?
Bit of both. Then you say, but I have a few followers up front.
Excellent. And then 1 year later, you were back at Hewish.
Yeah, I had a phone call from Barry Lloyd. And he asked, he said, would you want to come back and play for you or two? I said, yeah, what, a centre half? Because we mainly played centre half there. And he said, no, I want you to play up front. I said, oh, I know. Well, I can run all day. You still, you know. And they were running. He said, oh, don't worry about that. Get back the doors. But you know the slope. And he said, all I want you to do is just give the ball, go to the far point, and then score the goal. Well, as I say, I think I had about 26.
You ended up the top goal scorer, as you said, with 26 goals. So, you know, what a return that is. You know, coming back to the clubs, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
You know, some game got back to set out.
Incredible. I mean,
that was a slow advantage because you had John Cassidy one half and Stewart the other half. on the top side, and the slope was 6 foot from one corner to the other. So when they crossed the ball, and you're on the bottom of the slope on the far post, you could see goalkeepers, centre-half, all struggling. They couldn't read, you know, the speed of the ball or anything. So I had the nice lazy job to go to the far post, and then it came over their head, looking in the back of the net. Right. As long as it wasn't off my left, it was all right.
It's funny that while I'm doing the research for the club and going through all the old newspaper articles, there is not one player who's been photographed more than you in like the Evening Post and the Western Daily Press going back. I have so many photos of you, and every single photo is you up in the air about to not go into the net. But unless there are about 20, 25 photos of you like that.
My bad nose.
Say again, sorry, Terry.
I said I was even with my bad nose.
Yeah, with your bad, definitely. So when you came back with, as I said, you know, Barry Lloyd brought you back into the fold, 78-79. It's incredibly, you made 70 appearances that season. As you said, top goal scorer with 26, equal with David Platt. And obviously, you know, again, older viewers like myself will remember Platty and what a great player he was.
Yeah, he was a good goal scorer, and he worked hard as well. You know, he's got to be one of the best strikers we had.
That's unfortunately ankle injuries, ankle problems, you know, curtailed his career a little bit, but what an incredible striker. And also, you were playing up front with Clive Green as well.
Yeah, Clive was nice to catch up with him last week.
Yeah, so, I bet.
But yeah, these guys have been really good strikers. You know, Bill have had some really good players over the years. And, you know, you can't compare what it'd be like these days now, because we're a different type of player and all that. So we had good players all over the years. And, you know, that's why I could never single out any one player being better than
others. No, like you said, you know, we've been so lucky, you know, over the years that, you know, to have been blessed with so many great players, you know, strikers, midfielders, defenders, goalkeepers. And we've seen some incredible players over the years. And of course, you're amongst them, Terry. You're amongst them. So, that season with the Oval, we're at 77-78. Am I right? Then that season you left.
Yeah, that's when they went working, was it?
No, 79-80.
I think I went to Bridport.
That's right. Yeah.
Walked down the Bridgeport as a player, and then ended up player manager after a few games to the manager that. And then I, you know, just carried on managing little clubs and just enjoying the football. And I had a stick of sugar going. I had a stick in the Oval League for a few years where I carried on playing and managing. And then eventually somehow I was not sure what my game, and I was asked to go back to rugby yesterday evening, though.
Well, I think this might be where I come back in, Terry, because this is just about where I pick it up, I think, where you came back in. Because that, I mean, under-18s and youth football at that time was quite different to what people would know now, wasn't it? Because we had a reserve team, we had an under-18s team. I mean, who were some of the players that were in that under-18s team in the sort of the early 90s when he came back?
It's hard to recall those. Yeah, so players moving from Westlands and going to play with us and then other clubs. But
Because I remember we had a few that played in the first. I mean, I can remember I had Malcolm McPherson, that was sort of early when I started supporting the club. And I remember at the time he was...
on a bit further.
Yeah, he went on to West Ham, I think, didn't he, Malcolm McPherson?
Yeah.
But your memory
one thing I did want to ask you about, Terry, is 1995. That's a season I remember well, which was when Graham Roberts came to the club, and he asked you to be his assistant. Is that right?
Well, we got on great.
Yeah.
Graham was almost the oldest, picking all that. When I was after Tony, passing by the community, he's upset.
You had a good cop. He was a bad cop.
Good cop, back.
He was a good manager, and he was a great player.
Fantastic player, yeah, absolutely. But how did it come about, Terry? Because, I mean, you couldn't have known each other before he came in. Did he just meet you at the club and just ask you?
I mean, just must have liked what he was doing with me. Under 18s and that. You know, asking to go to system running.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And if I remember rightly, that his first full season, because he came in halfway through when we went down from the conferences, was we there was a lad turned up on in pre-season for us called Warren Patmore, who not unlike you, was a centre forward. He went on to do all right for himself, didn't he? I mean, how was he to work with as a striker yourself, working with a striker cut from the same cloth, I'd say? Warren probably put a few goalkeepers in the net in his time.
Sometimes you have to push and train with the one. Well, as I said, the big thing about Graham, he went down to the ICC. Yeah. On contact. But Graham knew all the ICC. Yeah. He knew all the players. When we ended up training one night a week in
Oh, right, you're ready.
Because he had so many players. We had the other bench player. And he thought it wasn't fair that the London players were traveling from all the way to Yeovil when we were in Yeovil time. So we had a nice bet, and we agreed a nice bet and all that. And one night a week, we used to train there. We used to take it in turns driving the minibus, me and Tommy Pounder. Yeah, it was a different experience, but unless they grant you all, and that's why we won the league.
Yeah, absolutely. He brought in some fantastic players, didn't he, Graham Robert?
There's a story about that. We had a T-shirt. We had T-shirts made that we had a champion. Now, we won for 3 matches before we had been won. So we had a bit of a hiccup in the match with England. We were expecting to win it and didn't. Got to keep the T-shirts hidden.
I wonder if there's any knocking about at the moment. Well, I was going to ask you about that, because this is obviously our first time at the same level as football, albeit it's changed a lot, hasn't it? I mean, when you see the team now, when the level we're playing at now, can you make a comparison, or is it just completely different?
It has been. Their penalty was for the different. But since the contract, you know, the national league standard has jumped up. The standard in the national league, and then even, I think, in the national league south of North now, that's moved up a level. So if we go up, which I'm sure we will, it's going to be still a hard graft next year. Yeah. You know, I mean, you've seen all the lad over the last few years, et cetera. All of the league that have come down and have struggled to get back out of it. I mean, Wrexham were lucky they had that influx of money. publicity and uplifted their club, but I think it took them about 14 years or something like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when you look at the league, it's the only actually clubs there are.
Yeah. And you're saying you had a couple of years there with Graham as assistant, and you held a very similar role with Colin Lippiatt, and then I think into Steve Thompson as well, didn't you? They must have been quite different characters to Graham.
Colin, different type of manager, quiet and that, and again, I enjoyed my time working with Colin. He was a good coach, and I was just glad. I'm just been so glad to be connected with the club for so long.
Absolutely, yeah, I can imagine. And it wasn't until 2000, you said earlier, David Webb came, that you left that coaching role. But obviously with your wife, Jean, who everyone will remember as the secretary of the club, you were still around, weren't you? You were always there on a match day and everything. I mean, you couldn't leave the place even if you wanted to, I bet.
When David Webb came in, the plans were being made, you know, to go full-time,
etc.
He asked me to stay as go full-time.
All right.
Gene worked there as well.
Yeah.
You know how precarious football can be.
Yeah. But
we didn't want to take a chance of both Gene and myself working full-time.
No.
But I had a good job as well.
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to get that. I mean, something happened to the club, and both Jean and myself could be out of worse. She carried on well, but she went.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, was it strange not to be involved in the same way you were? You must have been with all the players and everything, I'm sure, in your role, but was it strange not to be on the coaching staff?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, it wasn't that few years, but I was involved with other clubs and doing little manager jobs with local clubs and things like that. And whenever I could, I'd go to matches there. And then when I finished playing in local leagues and things like that, I'd go to matches and we never sent. And, you know, I love a great Blackpool Wolves club, and they looked after me, and, you know, we just enjoy it. I think we made so many friends over the years. It's just been a big part of our life.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, a huge part. And I mean, in the past 20 years, I know you've followed from the stands all the way up to the championship, and obviously back down again. I mean, in that period, when if you had to pick out a highlight, what would your highlight be? In more recent years, shall we say?
I've got to be fair. The year we were in the championship, it's the most exciting time, I think, of all the years I've been in Europe. Watch it. The gym was working there. We were going to all these big clubs, and it was just a fantastic year. It's a, you know, sorry that we drifted a little bit once we were on the downward slope. And then it's been, now the club has been really hard here. Who else? But it's on the till.
But then we must be one of the only clubs that literally have gone from, you know, the conference out of the Ice League all the way to the championship. You know, it's fans, we've literally seen every level you can see. We're really lucky.
But as I say, the club has seen many hard times. The one person I've got to mention in so much who became a person of friend was Brian Moore.
Legend.
And what he wants to do this for the club, I remember going down the old door, the wrecking pounds in the buckets. And it's been some scary moments where you thought the club might drop. But touch wood, bounce back every time.
Absolutely, that's hopefully what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to wrap up, Terry. I mean, you said that Jean retired from her role as secretary, and I know you've both become grandparents in recent times. I mean, you still get to a lot of the games, the two of you.
We've been down the weekend, funny enough. So
I went there, yeah.
So it's great. Like Schneeberger, I got to be one other say that do to the club. Of dirt.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it like to be out on the pitch with some of your old mates at the... Because I saw you coming around there. They said they're going to do a lap of honour. I thought, they're not going to make them walk all the way around the pitch, are they? I thought, there's nobody in some of those stats. But it must have been good to be out there and getting the applause, because it was a great crowd on Friday, wasn't it?
And the biggest surprise, when I walked on the pitch, I'm for the pitch. The ball was free. Now you gotta be fair.
Yeah.
So I put my hand up there, ground the button, great job. No, it was lovely. You go walk around and I'd spot a few of my golf mates who've been bullying me for years.
Oh, yeah.
70s. And then you go back the other side, all of the kids, all rest, five, all. You really just nice. It really does touch them, totally enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's what it should be about, isn't it? If there's one thing Yeovil Town is, it's that community, isn't it? And it's the kids and the older fans and everyone all in it together, isn't it?
I mean, it's nice for me. I still go in and go down at club, bump into the people in the boxes.
Yeah.
And so many people said, I remember seeing you play in Lord. Yeah. Some stories, Sean, well, it's good.
Fantastic. Well, Terry, we're at the end now. So we always end one of these podcasts by just asking whoever it is we're talking to, just if there's anything they'd say. There's obviously lots of Yeovil fans, old and new, and you probably know a lot of them anyway, probably mates with a lot of them. But is there anything you'd like to say to Yeovil supporters that are listening about your time with the club, both as a player and everything else that you've been?
Well, the main thing I'll say is we're all supporters. Keep supporting the club. We go through some bad times. There's a hell of a lot of good times. I'm sure there's more to come. And one thing about it is the players can't do without the supporters. And the more the support we get, the better it is for everyone. Well, it's to me, it's a great club. And always that well support them as long as I'm this side of the rack.
Fantastic. That's a lovely way to finish, Terry. Thank you so much for talking to us. And Mike, thank you for all your inputs as well. It's been you threw some good stats in there as well, Mike.
Where it's come from, Cottage.
My son Steve saying Mike's got another photograph of you and all that. So keep them going, Mike. They're still remembering me.
I wouldn't you, Terry. I would. Anything I can find, I'll send it over to Steve, mate.
Yeah, there you go. If Mike's getting paid by the photo, he's gonna be coining it in, isn't he? Terrific. Well, Terry and Mike, thank you so much for your time. And we'll leave it there. And up the Glovers, eh?
Up the Glovers.
Good stuff. Thanks very much, fellas.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!